Hi guys, good morning. My name's Denise. I'm an adult child of an alcoholic family. Hi, and I want to introduce our speaker for this morning. Her name's Mary Cook. Mary Cook's been doing this business. She has a master's. She's been doing this for over 32 years of clinical practice, treating a broad range of addiction and psychological problems. She taught at Cal State Dominguez Hills she's 29 years as professor on the Alcohol Drug Counseling Coordination Program, and no, I can't say that any faster. She's taught psychology addictions at UC Irvine and LA Harbor College. She has a private practice in San Pedro, and also she has a column in the Steps to Recovery, which is a newspaper geared towards the 12 steps, obviously 12 steps to recovery. It's a free paper, and her column is The Road Less Traveled. So if you pick up and get your hands on the steps, I advise you to take a look at it. I've gotten a lot from that particular column. Also, she's going to have some meditation CDs after her talk for sale. Okay, so here you go, Mary Cook.
Thank you very much. You know, how to become your own loving parent, the first thing that occurred to me is that we, if you believe in a loving higher power, we start off with one. We start off with the greatest loving parent that we could ever have. But, you know, when we come into this earth, we have imperfect human caretakers. And they've had years to forget their divine heritage. And so they also forget ours. And they treat us as if we are not little angels very often. What happens when we feel inside, you know, this beauty and this love? And if you observe children who have not had any significant problems yet, children who are still filled with that pure, loving spirit. They are so wide open. Their hearts are wide open. They are full of awe and curiosity and wonder. They really own their feelings. You know how in this program they say we have to own our feelings or our feelings own us. They truly own their feelings. If they're delighted, they just really let it show. And if a child is playing with a toy, sitting on a high chair and drops that toy, and immediately tears come. And then if someone walks in the room and they're curious about that person, immediately the tears stop, right? This is the perfect example. I have said for a long time that our true teachers as adults are children and animals. Because when we truly have our feelings completely, and nobody's saying that's the wrong feelings, and I'll give you something to cry about, and don't wipe that smirk off your face, and, you know, don't have that look on your face, and don't walk like a herd of elephants, or whatever it is, when we're being told that, ooh, what's coming naturally out of us that is so in sync with our feelings, whether it's positive feelings or negative feelings or hurtful feelings or pain or whatever it is, when somebody starts telling us that's wrong and we get punished for having certain feelings, then what happens is then they get locked up inside. Okay, if I want to belong here and I want a feeling of acceptance and I want some kind of feeling of love or at least not get too badly hurt, then I need to go along with these rules. And so once we stuff our feelings, so to speak, now they have power. They don't just disappear. See, the child who drops the toy and then someone new walks in the room, those tears are gone. They're not hanging on to them. No, they're completely gone. It is completely in the moment. All the power that we have in this life is right now. Our minds spend far too much time in the past. And when our minds are creating a future, it's based on the past. It's a reaction to the past. And so children walking around, having their feelings and letting them go, that's the right model. And so we need to get back to that. The other thing that children are good at is they're so creative. You give them a gift and they appreciate the box far more. You know why? Because the box can become a boat, a house, a drum. They're so tuned in to their creativity. They have so much resourcefulness. And there's a real nice balance between their inner world. It's healthy children fantasize, and I'm not talking about the lost child who fantasizes as a defense in the extreme way. I'm talking about a healthy child who has a healthy, rich fantasy and inner life going on. It's a nice balance between the inner life and the outer life when things are going well. Now, when things are not going well, mom and dad are sick in some kind of way, and there's millions of ways to be sick, and the child is not understood, not seen for who that child really is. Their feelings are not appreciated. They are abused. They are abandoned. They were in some other significant way mistreated. What happens then is now the child's wonderful balance between inner and outer reality and ability to have their feelings and let them go completely and get on to the next one. And that awe and that love with without biases and without prejudices and just so freely and generously given, all of that starts to get locked up inside. If we have a great treasure inside, our true self, our divine nature, and somebody's taking pot shots at it, every time we let this show, something bad happens. Every time we let that show, somebody makes fun of us. We get humiliated. We get shamed. We get abused, you know. Nobody appreciates this. People won't talk to us if we talk like this. Then what happens is that treasure gets locked up inside for safekeeping. It's always there. We never lose it. You know, shamans talk about soul retrieval and how we can lose pieces of our soul. There's no such thing. But it's a metaphor, meaning that we can lose conscious awareness that we have soul energy, conscious awareness of pieces of our soul. It can feel like they're missing, but it's really no such thing. It's deep inside for safekeeping. This is our real inner treasure. But what happens is in psychology we call it a false self. A false self gets created now that fits in with the dysfunctional environment. Because if we're children, we have no boundaries, we have no discernment, we don't know the difference between outside and inside. All we can do, there's this child psychologist by the name of Haim Gnaught that says children are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them leaves a lasting impression. So we are like sponges. We are soaking up everything. And everything that we soak up and all the energies, and it's not just what whoever's taking care of us, mom, dad, whoever, it's not just what they say and what they do in front of us and how they treat us. It's what they think, what they feel, what they're doing when we have no conscious awareness of that. We absorb energy. We're all made up of energies. Now, I'm sure that many or maybe all of you have had the experience of someone that you know says everything's just fine. And they're talking and they're acting and their body language and their facial expressions are that everything is just fine, what the words say. But you know darn well in your gut, nothing's fine at all with this person. You just know it. It doesn't show outwardly, but you feel the energy. Lots of times people wake up in the middle of the morning, say, mother will wake up 2 a.m, something's wrong with my son 1,000 miles away. You know? Or someone gets a vision that someone close to them has died. And it turns out to be true. We can, even buildings, it's not just people that hold energies. If you walk into a building where horrible crimes were committed, you can feel the energy of that building. You want to get out of there. It feels creepy. It feels cold. You walk into a building where there's been a lot of prayer and meditation. Oh, you just want to live there. And so what I'm saying, and there have been lots of research studies about this, that you take mom and you send her miles away from her little baby, and you've got baby and mom wired up to observe their brainwave patterns. And you have mom either look at a movie or read a book or look at pictures of something disturbing. Mom's brainwave patterns reflect baby's brainwave patterns, even though their mom, baby has no idea what mom's doing, but they are connected. There is an energy connection, and there's no time, space, distance, boundaries whatsoever. If you show mom something wonderful and mom's having a pleasant, positive, uplifting experience miles away, her brainwave patterns will reflect that, so will the babies. So we have a tremendous amount of energy inside of us from other people, even things we don't know about. Now, we have a conscious part of our brain. We have an unconscious part of our brain, and our brain will make a decision when things are so disturbing. If I'm being molested, if I'm being physically abused every day, our brain will very often make a decision that, you know, this is just too overwhelming. This person might not survive this. And so it slips into the unconscious mind. But into the unconscious mind not only goes the awareness of any trauma, but into the unconscious mind goes every part of that traumatic experience. What the room looked like. Someone was molested in a certain room. What that room looked like. What the smells were. What the person was thinking or feeling, as well as what they might have been saying and doing. You know, any visual cues, any sensory clues, all those sensory cues are in the unconscious mind. And people have, you know, in recovery from alcohol and drug addiction, people talk about relapse triggers, but there are trauma triggers. I've worked with lots of people. I probably, in 32 years of working with people in recovery, I've done more trauma healing from childhood than anything else, probably. And people will have the oddest experiences. They'll say, I can't go down certain aisles of the grocery store or the drugstore. Or certain people walk by me and all of a sudden I want to run and hide, or all of a sudden I want to punch someone, or all of a sudden I want to assert myself, or all of a sudden I'm a scared little girl, you know, or a scared boy, you know, and what is it? And I don't even know what's happening to me. It's because there are trauma triggers. Anything today, our brain is like a search engine. It's like a Google search engine. Anything that happens right now goes to the search engine part of our brain, and up come the energies, the feelings of what got triggered. And so if our brain has decided that we're not ready for conscious memory of these traumas, it doesn't mean that we won't be triggered. We're still going to have feelings. And the other thing is that when we have children of our own, our children will unconsciously remind us of our childhoods. So even though I don't know anyone that has any conscious memories of their infancy, or most people don't have conscious memories of their early years being a child either. But our unconscious mind has it all. And so when we are a parent, when we are a mother or a father of an infant, the unconscious energies of what our own infancy was like are being triggered. If we had a pretty good life until we turned 5 years of age, and then all of a sudden we were traumatized, then we're going to probably be in a pretty positive space with our child until that child turns 5. And then all of a sudden, we're going to get triggered. Because the child being 5 is unconsciously reminding us of ourselves when we were 5. And whatever happened when we were 5, we're going to have the emotions of that. Or sometimes we have the denial of that. Lots of times when children are molested, and they bury that, that gets buried in their unconscious and it doesn't get retrieved. They don't do any healing work. They don't go to therapy or 12-step programs. And they have a child. They will unconsciously place their child in danger at the age at which they experience trauma. They're not consciously aware of this. And now even if a child comes to an adult and says, your boyfriend just did this to me and it scared me, Mommy, help me. If mom has buried alive her own memories of trauma, then chances are mom is going to either act like that child didn't say anything, or is going to say, you're making it up. That can't be true. What's the matter with you? Don't you dare lie about people like that. There's going to be some sort of denial because the brain is still believing that this person, this adult, doesn't have the tools, doesn't have the support yet to recall their own memories, and so they can't very well deal with their own child's memories very well. So that's how things can get repeated like that. So we have this false self, which is defense mechanisms, character defects. Whenever we acquire a false self, which is what will fit in with our toxic environment here, we're going to have symptoms. We're going to have physical symptoms. We're going to have chronic disturbing emotions, we're going to have chronic disturbing thoughts, we're going to have behavior problems, we're going to have compulsions or addictions of some sort. We're going to have some symptoms. The reason we have symptoms from a false self is because our brain is trying to get our attention to say, there's something wrong here, and you need to look inside. There's something wrong. You know, we do have an internal guidance system, but so often we override it, and particularly with compulsions, we can override it. And compulsions include codependency. So focused on someone else, that we override our internal guidance system. But if you smoke and you start coughing, that's an internal guidance system saying maybe you shouldn't smoke. No? But you override it and you keep smoking. Well, then you might get bronchitis, or you might get asthma, or you might get emphysema. And if you continue to override it, you might get lung cancer. If you continue to override it, you might die prematurely. Well, we do have a guidance system that's trying to get our attention. And this is the value of problems and emotional pain and disturbing thoughts and behavior problems. You know, our mind wants to tell us out of fear, out of childhood fear of all the things that happened. No, our mind wants to tell us, let's live a life that's all pleasure and no pain. And yet this is so ironic, because our mind is the one that stirs up the pain and the drama and the crises. It's our mind that cannot come up with any sort of goal without telling us what might go wrong with a particular goal. But there is no life without trials and tribulations. It doesn't exist. It's not meant to exist, because we are meant to learn and grow. If we're just to be here to be hedonistic or complacent, nothing would get done. Nothing would get built. No one would go to work. That's not why we're here. We're here to learn and grow. We're here to, you know, the way that we come to value things as human beings is that we lose them. That's how we value things. Think about it. Do we value that we can breathe? And that we've got arms and legs, and that we can walk, and that we can work out if we want to. There's so many things that we can do with our bodies when we're healthy. We typically do not consciously value that unless we get sick. And the sicker we get, and the longer it lasts, and the more serious and more life-threatening it is, the more that when we recover, we value our health. And we tend to take better care of ourselves. If we were guaranteed that everyone we fell in love with would be with us until we died, we would get bored. We'd take advantage of them. We'd exploit them. You know, we'd go looking for drama and crisis, something to stir up the pot. But the idea that we don't know how long we have anyone in our life, everyone here is on loan from higher power. No one belongs to us. We cannot possess anyone. Our mind wants to say we can, but we can't. It's impossible. We don't know how long we have anyone for. And the idea that we lose people for a variety of reasons, including physical death, makes us hopefully cherish the people that we have here that are left. Now, that's the whole idea of it. If something can be lost, or there's something can be threatened, we're going to value it more. Also, if we have to work hard to get something, we're going to value it more. We don't tend to appreciate things that are just handed to us on a silver platter. So this is a place, our human existence on this earth plane is a place where we are meant to do work. We are meant to have trials and tribulations. Now, it's interesting to me, because as a child, my first exposure to what I call spiritual healing today and psychological insight was in reading fairy tales. There's so many fairy tales that are so rich with ideas for us about spiritual principles. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about Cinderella. And this Cinderella story is a metaphor, so all of you men out there, you can get something out of this story too. It's all metaphors. Now, if we look at Cinderella, she starts with a father who loves her and a deceased mother. All we know about the mother is she died some time ago. And then the father thinks, well, Cinderella needs a mother, and so he marries again, and he marries a woman who is not very spiritual. And she has two daughters from a prior marriage, and they're not very spiritual. Now, these three people, stepmother and stepsisters, have forgotten their divine heritage, and they are filled with fear, and they are threatened by Cinderella. And it's interesting because they can't, we can have a very loving person in our life, but if we are not aware of the love that lives inside of us, if a long time ago we put a wall around that because it hurt so badly that it wasn't reflected by some sick person that we grew up with that never saw that in us. So, it's too difficult to live with conscious memories 24/7, 100% feeling of who we really are as spiritual beings and grow up in a toxic, harming environment. It's too painful to have that awareness. So we block the awareness over a period of time. We don't want to have to live both in heaven and hell at the same time. So we forget about heaven, and we just live in hell, and we just, make these defense mechanisms to get us through the process. But when we have forgotten that there truly exists a pure divine love within us, then we cannot quite receive any healthy love from anyone else. So Cinderella's father was a very loving man, but the stepmother and the stepsisters didn't benefit much from that because they weren't consciously aware that it was a reflection of anything inside of them. But Cinderella knew. Cinderella remained in touch with her divine heritage no matter what she went through. So after her father died, then stepmother and stepsisters decided, well, they'll just take over the estate and they'll turn Cinderella into their servant and their maid and their housekeeper. And they just totally disinherited her and began to abuse her in lots of different ways. And, think about it. If any of us experienced this, wouldn't we have a lot of negative feelings? We would have a lot of negative feelings, a lot of pain, a lot of grief, a lot of, well, who do they think they are, and why are they doing this to me, and, what can I do about this, and this isn't right, and, and our mind would conjure up all of these dialogues about this sad scenario and this unfair scenario, and we would spend a lot of time in negative energy. But what we know about energy is that whatever energy we're walking around giving attention to inside of ourselves, whatever energy we're walking around throwing at other people, it doesn't have to be that we say it or act it out. Can we just, we think it and we feel it. All the energy that we carry inside of us, all the energy that we throw out at others, it magnifies and it comes back to us. We may as well walk around with a sign, because if we're thinking a lot of negative thoughts, we're asking for a lot of negative experiences. Come bring me some more experiences. This happened to me 10 years ago, and I'm still telling everybody I know all about it. And I'm not talking about doing therapy with it. That's a completely different thing. When we're doing healing work and therapy, we need to be sharing these stories with people who are going to help us to gain insight and to be able to release the energy, because that's ultimately what we need to do, is release the negative energy, not carry it around with us. We need to disempower it by understanding it, seeing the root of where it comes from, seeing the effect it's had on us, and saying, and I don't need to empower that anymore. That's not really truly who I am anyway. But you see, as children, we believe that how we are treated is what we deserve, because of what I had said earlier about the no boundaries, no discernment. So all the energy we absorb goes into this idea of our identity and our life. This is what our life is like. This is what love is like. This is what marriage is like. This is what, handling money is. This is how you handle arguments. All of those things. We're just soaking it all up, and it becomes part of our identity, our life. But it's never the truth. It's not ever the truth. So the idea of therapy, recovery, doing 12-step work is, let me talk about these things that I took on, that I internalized, and I falsely believed were me and had to do with my life, and let me let them go. Cinderella doesn't do that. It's interesting to me that the family says to her, well, now you're our maid and our servant, because program is very clear about cleaning house. Right? Doesn't program tell us clean house? Now, what does that mean? It means clear out negative energies. Clear out all the negative thoughts and feelings. Do not empower them to turn them into actions or communications. No, you take a higher road. You stay in a positive place. And it's very spiritual, because in order to do that, we have to recognize we are a spiritual being. If we think that we are totally 100% a human being, then we got really very little hope to get anything straightened out and get ourselves on a better course. But if we believe, no, there's something dear and precious locked up inside me here. I just know it. No, and we stay true to that. Then what we can do is recognize that these energies may belong to the step family, but they don't have to belong to me. They don't have to be my energies. Cinderella was very good. She was a master at cleaning house. Despite her grief, despite the abuse, despite all of the hardships living in this manor, she was joyful, she was kind, she was loving, she had positive energy. She had the other statement that I want you to think about that comes from program is what we resist persists. And I'll tell you, that's not the whole story. It's not just what we resist persists. It's that whatever we resist will grow. It doesn't stay at the same level. It gets bigger. It's like a cancer growing. Whenever we're saying, I don't like that, I don't want that in my life, why did that person come here and why did they do that to me? Whenever we give that energy, we're going to get more of that very same thing. So the best thing we can do is observe it and live and let live. You know, this is the spiritual principle that I think codependents really need to practice on a regular basis. Live and let live. And Cinderella was great at clearing out her negative energy, great at cleaning house. She was great at living and let live. She knew she wasn't going to be able to change her stepfamily. She didn't go to the empty wells, right? You learn when you grow up with sick people that have nothing to give you, and you got all these needs, and they got nothing to give you, but that becomes a habit, and you think that's what you deserve, people around you have nothing to give you, and so you keep finding them. Started in childhood, and you can end up in your 90s, and you're still finding these empty wells. Well, Cinderella knew not to do that. There weren't any other people living in the chateau besides, after her father died, besides her stepmother and stepsisters. So what did she do? She made friends with the animals. All the animals. In fact, she freed a mouse from a mouse trap. And she was friends with all of the animals. And again, what we are meant to do is let us put our positive attention and our love where it can be received. But what do we want to do? We want to go, what's wrong with my stepfamily? And maybe if I try this and this, stepmom will like me. And maybe if I do this and this, and maybe if I try real hard with my sisters, they'll, you know, I'll get into their good graces. But no. Cinderella knew not to do that. No. Who else is here that can receive my positive energy, that can receive my love? And she found the animals. And when we do that, when we put our love and our positive energy in places where it's going to be received, what happens is it's reciprocated as well. Because if you remember the story, the animals willingly, happily, joyfully allow themselves to be turned into a coach and horseman and footman to take Cinderella to the royal palace to meet the prince. And so it comes back to us, what we give out. Now, that's not why Cinderella made friends of the animals. You see, we have to look at our motivation, too. If we're saying, okay, let me go out and positively be a do-gooder over here because I want something back. I want to be proud of myself, or I want people to look up to me, or I want people to think that I'm so big or I'm so famous or I'm so whatever, you know, then it doesn't work. It has to really truly be altruistic. Just because it's in me to love, just because it's in me to love, that is just, and that is our true nature. Again, look at healthy children. Isn't that their true nature? They just want to give all the time and they want to receive all the time. And so the animals turned into the coach and the coachman and the footman and all of that. And so Cinderella gets to go to the ball. And then she meets the prince. And the prince is very interesting because we don't know very much about the prince in the story. But what we do know is his father had been pressuring him to marry someone so the father could have grandchildren. And the prince was not going for it. He's going to wait. If he never falls in love, it's not going to happen. So the prince also is a man of principle and his own identity. He's not just going to give dad what he wants if that doesn't feel right for him. Doesn't feel like that's his true nature. Not going to just do it for his father. But what happens when Cinderella comes to the ball is he immediately falls in love with her. Now, why does he immediately fall in love with her? Two things. One is that he is aware of love inside of him, so he recognizes the genuine thing when he sees it. The other thing is Cinderella hasn't been living her life yearning, craving for someone to come into her life and complete her and save her and rescue her, and she's nothing without a man, and when is that man going to show up? She didn't do that. She could have very well lived her life without a man. It's not the man, you know, what the prince represents or the worldly goods that come from having a rich inner life. It is our inner life, you know, everything switches in adulthood. As children, we start falsely believing that our inner life is made up of what we see and what we feel and what we hear and what we know from whoever is in our environment. And so our identity and our life, this blueprint is formed from the outside in. The outside environment creates this false belief of who we are and what life is about. And we have to hang on to it because that's how we're surviving in this dysfunctional, imperfect environment. And the thing is when we hang on to something for too long and we have to hide the truth because it's too painful to walk around aware of that truth, we forget about that we have this whole other truth. It's at a much higher level than where we're really at. We forget about that, and we think this is the real thing. But Cinderella never, never thought that that was the real thing. In fact, she had a song that she sang every day. A dream is a wish that your heart makes. And I think that song represented her remembering that what is truly the most real for me lives deep inside. And that inner riches do eventually bring inner outer wealth as well. Inner goodness does eventually bring outer goodness. But I had said earlier, and every fairy tale is like this, there's always a quest. There are always trials and tribulations, fighting with dragons. You know, the dragons are just metaphors for our inner demons, you know, our false beliefs, our character defects, our compulsions, all of that. That's all it is. But we all have this journey to make. Even the prodigal son is about that. I think we're all prodigal sons and daughters. You know, this is how it's meant to be. So that truly, when we come back to our real place of truth, we know it. Indeed, we know it, and we hang on to it, and we say, now I get it. I get it, and I'm going to continue to live this way. And if I was harmed by anyone, the last thing that I want to do is harm myself or anyone else. No. And Cinderella expended no energy of harm toward her stepfamily at all. They were just there, doing their own thing. It was really live and let live. It wasn't a sense of superiority. It's like, I'm better than them. They're less than them. They're less than me. You know, program doesn't tell us. What program tells us when we see somebody who's sick is pray for them, right? It doesn't say join them in sickness. Let's all join hands and be in sickness together. It doesn't say that. And so she never did it. She's just live and let live. And so now when the spell breaks at midnight and she loses one of her glass slippers at the royal palace and goes home and back to her regular life, you know, she could have thought, you know, how many of us would spend hours on the phone saying, oh my God, you can't believe what happened. Here I've had this rotten life, right? And then I meet this great prince, and we fall in love, and then now I lost him. My one chance for fulfillment, this is just the last straw. I give up at this point. You know, it's just not worth it. What is God doing to me anyway? You know, what is this life of punishment all about? No, 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 none of that. She's always on the high road. She's always in touch with her spiritual nature. And she's just going about her business, and then she hears the Grand Duke is going around to see, you know, whose foot fits the glass slipper. Well, the stepmother gets wind of this and thinks it might be Cinderella, because Cinderella's singing a song from the ball. And so she locks Cinderella in her attic bedroom so that Cinderella can't try on the glass slipper. Cinderella's not banging on the door. She's not yelling profanities. She's staying in her spiritual place. And what happens? The mouse that she had rescued from the mouse trap years ago brings her the key. The animals set her free. No. The animals set her free. She walks downstairs to try on the glass slipper. Stepmother sees her and says, I'm not letting this happen to her. Trips the Grand Duke so that he drops the glass slipper and it shatters. And she thinks, yeah, good. But Cinderella has the other glass slipper. So she produces it, proves that she's the one that was at the royal ball that the prince fell in love with. Now, the glass slipper, in my mind, it's glass. And by the way, those of you that forgot the visuals of the story, it's not an actual bedroom slipper. I guess in the old days, that's what they called high heels, slippers. But anyway, in my mind, it's made of glass to remind us that Cinderella is an enlightened being. She is enlightened. And it's a slipper. She left one slipper at the royal palace, and she brought one home with her to suggest that now Cinderella is in transition. Part of her life and herself now belongs at the royal palace, but she's not quite finished with home yet, until this is demonstrated that she was indeed the right woman. Now, the very last scene of Cinderella is the end of the wedding. She and the prince and the king coming down the steps of the royal palace. She loses the slipper again. The king helps her retrieve the slipper. She and the king retrieve her lost slipper this time. And in my mind, that's a confirmation of the king saying to her, you are in your rightful place. I want you here. This is where you belong. And Cinderella adjusting to this new place. Can you imagine what it would have been like? You know, I mean, it would. And this is the thing. If we don't maintain a higher sense of who we truly are, and we see this happen all the time when somebody has instant fame, instant wealth, you know, what happens typically? Their life is briefly better, and then it just goes down the tubes usually. Because they haven't prepared inwardly for it. There needs to be an inward preparation. But Cinderella has maintained this higher truth her whole life. So this is just one last moment of, okay, I've gone from here to there. And this is what, as adults, our life, our external life, is in large part created by our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, our impulses, our fantasies. All of that, our visions, our dreams, in large part. And this is one of the reasons why we must be mindful. Because too often we overempower this mind. And you know, when we've had a lot of trauma in our life, when we've had a lot of chaos and crisis and drama and lived a life of compulsions, when that's been our life, then we tend to stay in the lower part of our brain. We have two parts of our brain, a lower and a higher brain. And the lower part of our brain is where we stay, we are in survival mode. Controls breathing and blood circulation. Keeps us alive. The feelings, we have a narrow range of feelings when we're in the lower brain. And they include fear, because if something comes after me that I can run away from and get away from and be okay, I want to have that feeling of fear to guide me to do that. It includes anger, because if something comes at me that I can fight and beat and be okay, I want to be able to do that. And it includes hunger and thirst, so we have survival of ourselves, our own physical species. Also includes lust, so that we have survival of the species. It includes the reward and pleasure centers, so that we are looking to capture pleasure, and we're looking to avoid pain, which I would have said before is useless, because pain is for good purpose, to tell us we're going the wrong direction, and problems are to get us going in the right direction. You know, the problems, every single problem that comes to us can be a step to our enlightenment. All of our character defects and defenses can turn into spiritual principles. That is what's meant to happen. And so we need to be mindful, because if we can stay, and there are people who stay their entire life in that lower part of their brain and are just reactive, and things just, it's like the guinea pig in the wheel, you know. The outside forms change, but the spirit, the nature of things, the feelings, the themes of the problems do not change a bit. We're not growing that way. The only way we learn and grow is to get into our higher brain. How we get from our lower brain into our higher brain is doing the work that you're all doing, 12-step work, recovery work, sharing with people who understand, who have compassion, who can provide a healing space for you and help you to understand. Because when we can understand something, and I don't mean just intellectually, I mean emotionally, when we can walk through those feelings and now fully experience them and have people holding compassion space for us, then we can, what happens is when people are helping us in this program to learn and grow and to heal, they are not giving us information, giving us feelings, giving us advice that we don't have inside of ourselves. But because our true nature has all solutions to all problems, period. There's nothing we don't know the solution for deep inside. But remember, we forgot about that part of ourselves long ago. And so it needs to get reignited, and that's what helping people do. They say things and it rings a little bell. They say things and it brings some feeling of peace, some feeling of lightness. No. And what's happening is that healing people and understanding and compassionate people and people who've traveled the road of recovery ahead of us, when they speak to us, when they just sit with us with their energy, they don't even have to say anything. When they have certain feelings around us, it starts triggering, stimulating that higher self. And then we start bringing that higher part of ourselves more into our conscious awareness. When we heal something, when we're able to talk about trauma that happened long ago, and we're able to walk through the feelings of that trauma without defense mechanisms and without acting out in any kind of way, and we're able to see the roots of it, then what will happen is all of the energy that was stimulating these trauma triggers and their variety of responses that I spoke about earlier, all of that energy starts rising to the higher part of our brain. The higher part of our brain is what allows us to grow spiritually, to grow psychologically, to learn our lessons so they're not repeated. No, we are doomed to repeat what we fail to remember, right? And so we need to remember, and we need to work through so that things can shift to the higher brain. Because the lower brain, everything is just going to be the same the whole time. Just repeating themes, you know. And people wonder, you know, why is it that one more time I've gotten myself romantically involved with somebody that reminds me of the dysfunction of my mother or my father or stepfather or uncle who abused me or whoever it is? Because we haven't healed those things yet. That's why we have to heal those things. And we can't be like Cinderella, where we're enlightened from the beginning. This is just, these stories, like Cinderella, fairy tales, are signposts to where we can start walking in these directions. Because we've got, probably by the time we get into therapy or 12-step meetings, we've got over 20 years of thinking the wrong way and doing things the wrong way. And so we can't just tell our story once and all the energies leave. Now we get in touch with our spiritual nature. It doesn't happen that quickly and that easily. We have to continue this process where little by little we are releasing the energies that do not belong to us, and we are getting in touch with our true self. Now we need to jump start this process, just like a stroke victim whose left side is paralyzed needs to take their right hand and lift their left arm, and needs to take their right leg and lift their left leg. Take the part that works and stimulate the part that doesn't work, because that sends messages to the brain that, something's not working here. We need to reconnect. We need to do some repair work. Okay. So we need to jump start getting in touch with our soul energy, getting in touch with our higher spiritual nature. And we can do that by practicing spiritual principles. So even though in our mind we're taking somebody's inventory in the meeting, whether we're doing it superficially or we're doing it deeply, taking somebody's inventory, and we need to be mindful and stop that energy, because what did I say about energy earlier? Whatever energy we give out, it magnifies, comes right back at us. Judge not, lest ye be judged. and what's the other one? Before you take the speck out of somebody else's eye, take the log out of your own eye. See, these are all spiritual messages. Every spiritual text has similar messages, and so does the program of recovery. So we say to ourselves, here's this part of me judging and looking down on somebody, and I just caught myself doing it. And so what I need to do now is practice the contrasting spiritual principle, which is, what do I admire about the person? What do I appreciate about that person? So every time we catch ourselves, when we catch ourselves in a lie, we got to go say, I just lied to you. Let me tell you the truth now. When we lash out and say something hurtful in an angry tone to somebody, we need to go and say, I said that all wrong. Even if we there was a point in there that we needed to make, maybe, or wanted to make, if there was an important point, nothing wrong with the point, but the way we said it was all wrong, maybe. So we need to go and say, I said that all wrong, and I apologize for how I said that. It was far too cruel, far too hurtful, far too angry. I don't want to give you that energy. And so we use fairy tales like Cinderella, and we use scriptural texts to remind us, and I think it's a good idea to take whatever recovery text you're using from whatever 12-step meeting you go to, write down all the spiritual principles, and practice. Take one a week to practice. This one I'm going to practice. And in fact, lots of times people think they're not getting answers to their prayers, because they'll pray and they'll say, God, please help me to become more loving as a person. I don't think I'm very loving. And then what happens that week? And they're praying every day for a week, please help me to become more loving. And they say at the end of that week, I don't think God helped me at all, because every person that came up to me, I was just angry with them, or impatient, or intolerant, or thinking ill of them, or wanting bad things to happen to them, or feeling envious, or feeling spiteful, or feeling jealous, I had every feeling in the book but love. Now, what we have to recognize is this is God's answer to our prayer. This is God's way of saying, you don't need more love inside of you. I created you from love, for goodness sakes. You don't need more love inside of you. You have it. I'm showing you what's in the way, right? Doesn't program tell us to get out of our own way all the time? Get out of your own way. Let things flow. Be in divine flow. Quit creating your own ideas. And so we have to look at what are our blocks. All of recovery is moving forward. And in order to move forward, we have to let go of the baggage. We have to make ourselves lighter. We have to look at, if I'm here and I want to be there, what is holding me back? Not who else is holding me back. It is not people, places, and things. What thoughts, what feelings, what behavior patterns, what attitudes, what beliefs, what visions are holding me back? And then I can move forward. It's not about anybody else. It's all about the inside. Let's take a look at the inside and let's practice spiritual principles. Let's see if we have... Did you have a question?
Yeah,
Can you?
Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to ask, like, how do you tell the difference between not making judgments to other people, like not judging them, but then still protect yourself against when people are doing something to you? Like, so you want to be loving and accepting and look at everyone's good traits, but when does that become like letting people walk all over you? Like, I always get confused with that.
Okay. And that's a good question. You see, positive energy that we want to practice giving to other people, we need to practice giving to ourselves too. And so we don't place ourselves in harm's way. If somebody is going to be hurtful to us in some way, then we disengage. We minimize contact, or we stop contact, or we say, I'm sorry I can't participate in this, or I'm sorry I can't stay and listen to you right now. No. We can take care of ourselves without being defensive or offensive. That's what we need to learn to do. We just decide. And this is the wonderful thing about being an adult as opposed to being a child. As a child, oh no, you know, go let Aunt slobber all over you and and hold you hostage, and you're having a terrible time, and you want to go out and play with the cousins, and you know. You know, we don't get to do these things as children, but as an adult, we can practice boundaries. And we need boundaries, and boundaries are internal as well as external. If that doesn't work for me, gosh, this person is going to talk about something that I'm not in agreement with, then I'm going to excuse myself. No, I don't need to listen to them. I don't need to try to convert them to my way. And I don't need to give them much time or attention either. I can just excuse myself. And so we need to do that. We need to practice our own boundaries because we don't want to be in negative energy because negative energy hurts ourselves. You know, the idea of forgiveness as well, if we think about forgiveness, forgiveness is about giving. And Cinderella was always giving. She never withheld. And she didn't try to get something from people that didn't have anything that they wanted to give her. She just was giving. So we need to be giving to ourselves. We need to be giving to others in terms of mental. Again, it's the idea of pray for them, they're sick. We don't have to spend an hour with them. We don't even have to spend 5 minutes with them if they're toxic to us. And no, that doesn't feel like the right energy for me. No, and so I'm going to go over here instead. But we don't want to go over here, or we don't want to stay there and create a lot of negative energy towards someone. Because that keeps it inside of us. And that creates a barrier for us moving forward. Then we're going to have difficulty moving forward. Can you come up?
When I'm evaluating, I'm saying, that's behavior I don't like. So how do I want to take care of myself with it? So that it helps me.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Yeah. And that's how we stay in positive energy. You need to come up. See, because judging, we're looking down on someone. We're thinking we're better than them. Even if we're in fear of someone, we're overpowering them. And this is the child-dependent state where we overempower people, places, and things, and we underempower ourselves. And in adulthood, we have to consciously reverse that. We have all the power. All of our power exists in what's the healthiest response I can have to this situation or this person.
What I know for me is, excuse me, when I'm rejecting people or I'm having whatever my reactions and feelings are to people, they're the exact ones I'm having for myself. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing to me is judging me at that particular time. And sometimes I can stop and look at, oh gosh, what am I saying in here about this person or what's going on, and then take it back to what am I saying about myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Are there any other questions? Yes. Come on up.
You mentioned what you resist persists, and sometimes in my life, it's like I'm very aware of the energy, and so then when there's negative energy in my life, probably the last 4 or 5 months, instead of excusing myself, like you mentioned, and saying, well, this energy isn't in alignment with my energy, I'm going to move on. I just have kind of accepted it. And then it's brought up a lot of unconscious old behavior and pain that I need to address. So I kind of went from one side to the other, where I had like my boundaries, and I was very aware of the positive energy and staying in the positive energy. And then I realized, maybe this could help me. You know, some of the stuff, I feel separate. I feel separate sometimes. So I want to know, you know, how do you distinguish? And I don't know. I mean, to me, like in the last 4 or 5 months, it's kind of just been like, you know what, I'm just going to live in a full acceptance of what comes in and out of my life, which has brought me a lot of healing. With that said, I feel off track in that manner in which I'm not necessarily following my goals or my positive energy. Do you understand my question? Okay.
Yeah. Good comments. So what I have to say about that is that when we are able to stay in positive energy and have the right responses to things, and then they go away and they don't stay with us and they don't keep coming back at us, then we're doing what we need to do. If something continues to come at us, even though we're doing that, then we need to do something else. Then we need to say, so if we continue to get barraged by things, then it's the universe telling us, no, we want you to see something. Because, and the beauty of this is that we do some healing work, and then we practice the principles of that healing work and enjoy being in that space. And then, all of a sudden, people are taking pot shots at us, and we say, what? Did I not do my healing work? Yes. This is a good thing. It's that I'm at a new level, and now the universe is telling me, at this level, we want you to do another piece of work. And so when things just keep bombarding us, it's because, oh, now I need to go someplace, not act out these feelings with whatever situation, whatever people are bombarding me, but to take my reactions to this, to my sponsor, to my counselor, to my higher power, into prayer and meditation, into journaling, into creative work, all my tools of recovery. Let me take it to these places and let me work with this and see what I'm supposed to get in touch with, because there is something that's triggering these outside themes and feelings that are coming up for me now that I'm getting barraged by are triggering a piece of work that I need to do some healing on. And even if it's a piece of work I did healing on before, it's at a different level. It's at a deeper level now. We've grown enough to be at a deeper level. So that's actually a good thing, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because there are these two different... When it's working, we keep doing it. But when it stops working and things even escalate, then we need to look at, ooh, here's some healing work for me. And not react to the outward people, places, and things, but to take it into a therapeutic place. Does that make sense? So yeah. Sounds like you're doing the exact right thing.
Yeah, it does. It does. And, like, there are certain aspects, though, where I feel like I have healed and I can move forward. But then it's like I also think about kind of like this full acceptance principle where, like, everybody you meet, like, every conversation, you know, it's like once you get in recovery, it's like you're talking to somebody, you're like, you know, is this God's will? Like, every person I talk to, you know, am I supposed to, or can I, you know, like, all the 10 people I talk to is exactly God's will. And it's like that. I mean, it's like that. It's like, oh my gosh, every person, every hour you talk to, like, you know, they say exactly what you need to hear. But then again, I feel like I'm not putting that boundary and able to, like, walk or move forward in my positive energy. Does that make sense? Like, so it's like a full acceptance rather than a full acceptance of everything I meet and everything I come into in order to help me heal and heal these unconscious tapes. Mm-hmm. Or is it like, where's the balance? Yeah, between like also moving forward and going, well, this is just old energy, you know? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does. And balance is the key word. We need a balance, like I talked about healthy children a long time ago when I first started. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a good balance of inner and outer life. And so it sounds like sometimes you give too much energy to what's coming at you, even if it's positive, mm-hmm. too much energy to what's coming at you, and it's important for you. You know, I cannot stress enough the value of prayer and meditation in any recovery program. Because it's important to get in touch with our inner truth. Your insides, your deep insides will tell you, if 20 people said something to me today, is all 20 people tell me something that God wants me to hear to move forward or to heal? Or is there something that stands out in what those 20 people said? It's one person or one. It might not even be what anybody said. It might have been an energy I felt. It might have been a feeling I experienced. It might have been some body language, some facial expression. But we need to pay attention to what's deeply getting triggered inside of me. We can be pay too much attention to the outside, and we have to pay more attention to the inside. You know, lots of times when something is coming to us that is meant to be for our enlightenment in some way, we will very often have a physical reaction. Mm-hmm. A little bell or a little feeling of lightness or peace, or even some people hear music being played in their mind, or, you know, their body just instantly relaxes or something. So, but in order to even know those things are happening, we have to have a regular practice of stillness and solitude and silence so that we can get in touch with this soul energy or this higher self, so that we will know. And then we won't be willy-nilly trying to accept and make sense of every single signal of everything that's coming at us in our day. We will be in touch with our own bodies. And so we'll know when something from the outside triggers something that's important inside. Mm. So it's more doing the inner work. And lots of times when we've had pain and trauma in our past, if we've had physical abuse, if we've had sexual abuse, we have practiced disconnecting from our bodies. We don't want to be there. It's too much pain. It's too much horror. And so in recovery as an adult, very important, get back in our bodies. So many of I'm not talking about that people are actually physically out of their bodies, but psychically, we can leave our bodies for a long time, and then we don't have our bodies as a good internal guidance system then. And so we have to practice telling ourselves, telling that inner child, it's safe to get back in my body now, mm-hmm. because I'm not harming myself. I don't have anybody in my life that is harming me. I'm not harming anybody. It's safe to get back in my body and feel what I need to feel so that I will get that guidance. So then you'll know. You'll know for sure what you're supposed to take in and do some work with, and what you can just say, thank you very much, and go on about your day.
Mm. Thanks.
Does that help?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks.
Anybody else? Any other questions? No? Okay. I wanted to do a guided meditation with you today. Now, If anybody has not done meditation before and this is kind of scary, then you don't have to follow any of my directions. You can sit and journal or fantasize or write notes or whatever you want to do. But if you would like to, I'm going to take you through a relaxation and talk to you about getting in touch with both the child energy, which I talked about earlier, that carries both. There's a healthy child inside of all of us. And there's also a false self child, and it's the false self child that holds all the problems and all the negative energies that we need to do some work with. And the more that we work with this false self child, the more the healthy child gets free and begins to enrich our adult lives. And it's a wonderful experience. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about relaxing and paying attention to your breathing, and kind of take you through sort of a guided visual imagery and see if you can open yourselves up to your higher power and some healing energy and just something that feels right for you. And also those of you that are going along with my suggestions, if you're going along with everything that I say and you're able to visualize that or feel that, and then something happens where your own unconscious mind takes you in a different direction, as long as it feels like a healthy, spiritual, you know, nice place, feel free to tune me out at that time and then just do your own thing. Okay, so what is helpful is if you have your feet flat on the floor rather than legs crossed or ankles crossed. It works best if you have your feet flat on the floor. And you don't want to sit bolt upright like a stiff board, but you don't want to be real slouchy either. So have your back somewhat upright, but comfortable and relaxed. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. We're going to all close our eyes so that we don't have any visual stimuli distracting us. We can get more in touch with our bodies and more in touch with our breathing. And so what I want you to do right now is just pay attention to your breathing.
You don't have to artificially control your breathing. Just notice when your lungs wish to inhale and when your lungs wish to exhale. And just follow that, almost as if you're watching the ocean come in and then recede. Just follow your breath. And every time you inhale, I want you to imagine peace flowing inside of you. Peace flowing inside of your mind and your body. And every time you exhale, I want you to imagine that all tensions and all negative energies are flowing out of your body with every exhalation. So every inhalation, allow yourself to experience the feelings of peace, and with every exhalation, allow yourself to experience tensions and negative energies moving right out of you. Notice your face and your head and your neck and shoulders. Just be with that part of your body right now. Give that part of your body attention. And if there is tension anywhere in your head, face, neck, or shoulders, when you breathe in, send that breath right to those places of tension to soften the tension. And when you breathe out, feel that tension dissolving and being removed and released from you, so that your head and your face and your neck and your shoulders feel increasingly relaxed and the tension is dissolving and leaving. From your neck and shoulders down the length of both of your arms all the way to your fingertips, notice if there's any tension, and if there is, then allow your breath to go to those places and soften the tension, and allow your exhalation to remove the tension. Softening the tension, breathing in, and removing the tension as you breathe out. From your neck all the way down to your waist, the whole trunk of your body, the front, back, and sides of your trunk. Notice if there's tension anywhere. And if there is, let your breath go to those places of tension and soften them. And with every exhalation, you're going to allow your breath moving out to also move out the tension. From your waist down to your knees, if there's any tension, send your breath to soften it and let your exhalation remove it. And from your knees all the way down to the tips of your toes, let your breath soften any tension and let your exhalation remove it. So from the very top of your head to the tips of your toes, let tension continue to be softened and released and removed from your mind and body. And allow yourself to experience serenity, peace, and complete relaxation. Mentally, physically, and emotionally. And if your mind is chattering at you, just imagine your mind's chatter to be leaves in autumn falling off the trees, floating down on the breeze, and being carried away by a stream. And let your whole mind and body feel as peaceful as possible. And whatever comes to you right now as something that represents your higher power, whether that's an image, whether it's a feeling, a physical sensation, or an idea, whichever way it comes, bring it close to you.
Let that image or feeling or sense of higher power feel very close to you, and let your mind and your body open up completely to the energy that your higher power has for you. And know that your higher power sends you healing. Your higher power sends you love. Your higher power sends you grace and wisdom and peace. And let yourself feel the energy of your higher power moving through you. And this energy cleanses you even more of any negativity, of any tension. Just let it all go. Let your higher power work through you mentally, emotionally, and physically, clearing you of all tense and negative energy and allowing you to feel the fullness of divine love, the fullness of your highest truth, the fullness of divine grace that lives inside of you. And let yourself feel this not only inside of you, but all around you. Let yourself feel surrounded by this energy from your higher power. It is below you, above you, behind you, in front of you, on all sides of you, this energy. There is a never-ending supply of divine love and healing energy for you. All you have to do is get quiet and still and open up to it. Somewhere off in the distance, I want you to see or feel or know or receive some sort of sense of the child inside of you, the child energy inside of you. And somewhere, let yourself have a sense of any kind of a problem that seems to be with you at this time in your life, whether it's a physical, mental, emotional, behavioral, functional life problem, it doesn't matter. But let yourself get a sense of that, whether by image or feeling or idea. And let the child be in front of you, and let whatever represents this problem be in front of you. And I want you to notice your higher power now sending healing energy and loving energy to your inner child, and also to whatever it is that is representing a problem that exists for you right now. And feel and know and see your higher power sending healing and love and understanding and peace and grace. And watch to see how these things change. How does your inner child change as a result of opening up to and feeling this energy from your higher power? How does whatever represents a problem that you have right now, how does that change in feeling, in thought, in vision? How does it transform as a result of your higher power sending healing energy, sending loving energy? Just notice, and it's nothing that you make happen. It's something that you just allow and observe. Let your allowing and let your observing notice any changes that are taking place with whatever represents the problem and with your inner child as a result of divine love. And feel the energy all around you. Let yourself feel completely supported by your higher power. And if your inner child wants to be close to you, then you just reach out your hands or your arms and allow that to happen. and let there be closeness, and let there be bonding, and let there be a tender, sensitive, respectful kind of love between the adult you and the child you. And whatever has represented the problem, allow it to continue to be transformed, because your higher power can change absolutely everything into something positive and something wonderful that helps you. Everything, as I said earlier, everything can be a stepping stone to enlightenment. And so allow this to enlighten you, this change that is taking place. Allow yourself to feel a part of all of this positive energy. Allow yourself to get a glimpse of what your soul energy or your higher self is like. See if you can feel what that is like, if you can see what that is like, or if you can know what that is like. You are surrounded by heavenly assistance at all times. The only thing that changes is our awareness of it. Take this time to let yourself be aware of the power of the heavenly assistance that surrounds you, that loves you, that takes care of you, that understands you. And know this higher part of you, that no matter what you might be going through on a human earthly scale, that this higher part of you is always at peace, always wise, always understanding, always knowing the solution, always appreciating whatever it is that has come into your life so that it might be transformed, so that you might learn and grow. And you can have an unconditional sense of gratitude today. Gratitude not only for everything that you decide is positive right now, but for the things that feel that they aren't so positive right now, knowing that they are coming into your space because there's a request for healing and transformation. And you just allow that to take place. It's just allowing. It's not making anything happen. It's just watching, truly letting go and letting the God of your understanding work through yourself and your life. And feel that happening inside of you and all around you. And let yourself right now appreciate everyone that you know on this earth, that you love, that loves you, that you help, that helps you. Let yourself appreciate these people. Let yourself appreciate the earth, the animals, the plants, the sky. Feel grateful for all of those things in your life that you sometimes overlook. And I want you to notice how the light that the God of your understanding shines on you, how that light keeps expanding. And just watch it expand. You are standing in divine light, and that light expands to include all of the things and people and animals that you love. And this light that comes from the God of your understanding is not biased or prejudiced. And this light expands to all those people who you don't understand, all those people who on a human scale you don't even like, all of those people that you don't understand. Know that divine light expands to include them as well. And let this divine light expand to include all the places on this planet that you've been and that you've not been to. Our whole earth, feel the expansiveness of your higher power's love, of your higher power's grace and understanding and truth. And let that light just continue to expand. Let it go everywhere. Let it affect everyone. And let yourself become aware of all the divine presences that are in a heavenly plane, that help you, that love you, that you love. Let yourself know how much heavenly assistance that you have. Let yourself feel it. Let yourself see it if the vision comes to you. And that your journey in this life is all about miracles and blessings. It's all about the promises. And when we compare what heaven does for us and what our part is small. Even when we think it's too tall an order, it really is quite small compared to what heaven can do for us. And let your soul take you by the hand. Let your higher self lead you. Because it is safe to remember who you truly are. You are a spiritual being. You are filled with the light and love of your God. You are here to receive and to give miracles and blessings. You are here to transform everything negative that comes across your path into something ultimately positive. And feel that energy inside of you. Feel how it just comes to have a life of its own, and it continues. And let yourself be led. Let go and let the God of your understanding take you to your highest places so that you can bring heaven on earth in all the ways that you are meant to do that. We are all unique beings. We all have different combinations of gifts and talents. And our soul wishes to use every single gift and talent that we've been given to a higher purpose in this life. And let us feel that energy moving through us and moving us forward and moving us upward. And let us remember our original parent is pure love of the highest kind. And that energy is always within us. I want you to express in thought or feeling or vision gratitude for your higher power, gratitude for heavenly and earthly assistance. Gratitude for this life that you have been given. Feel that gratitude. And know as you slowly come from this meditative place back to a more alert space, as you make this transition, all of the positive benefits of this meditation will remain with you. And you have only to remind yourself of your breath to go right back to this space. So little by little, begin to feel your physical feet on the floor. Begin to feel your body against the chair. Gently and slowly, roll your neck, stretch out your hands and toes. Gently and slowly, stretch out your arms, your feet, move around a little bit, Let your breath become deeper. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
Good stretch.
Thank you very much. If any of you have further questions, please come up and see me. Thank you.